Good evening and welcome to show number 77 this November 8th of 2010. I'm so pleased that this evening we will be having a two-hour special with my dear friend Cantor Joseph Yossi Malavani. Many of you are familiar with his wonderful singing. Some of you may not know that he is the consummate musician aside from having a wonderful voice. He is a conductor, a composer, he's an expert on the piano, and he's a lecturer, and we're going to hear about his background with the music, and also some of his thoughts about Chazanis, and some recordings also. So good evening, Yossi Malavani.
Good evening, Charlie. Good evening to all your listeners.
Well, thank you so much for joining with me.
My pleasure.
I'm honored that you're my friend. I just want you to know that it's a delight.
It's a delight. It's always a pleasure to be friends with somebody who loves Chazanis, and it's always such a great pleasure to have you in my shul quite often.
Yes.
So it's good.
Yes. Yes. Why don't you start from the beginning? See, tell us where were you born and a little bit about your history.
Well, I was born in Tel Aviv. And studied actually in three equal ways. One way, of course, a regular school at the Bilu School in Tel Aviv in Shderot Rothschild. At the same time, the regular school, religious school, of course. Equally to that, I was in the choir from the age of eight. The choir at the Bilu Synagogue, which was attached to the school, and the choir, the boy from the choir, the better ones, were also conducting the services. They were davening under the tutelage of our Rebbe, the great Chazan Shlomo Ravitz. So the Bilu Synagogue and Bilu School were together, and that was an institute where visitors from all over the world used to come Friday night because it was a phenomenon to hear boys davening Kabbalah Shabbos and Ma'ariv and Shabbos morning Shachris and Musav. At the outset, I would like immediately to tell everybody, those who are concerned with halachic issues, how can a boy who was under bar mitzvah say Baruch Hu? How can he say Kaddish? Well, there was a psak halacha at that time from a Rav Unterman, who was the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv and eventually the chief rabbi of Israel, because it was Leshem Chinuch, and when it is Leshem Chinuch for the sake of education, he gave the full permission to be done, and the adults were Yotze. Later on, there were some arguments about it, and whilst the boys were still davening, at least for Baruch Hu and Chatzi Kaddish, Ravitz, Shlomo Ravitz, who was originally a great chazan, and upon retirement undertook this project, which was tremendous, and gave him a huge, huge international publicity at that time. He used to chant it together with the boy, and the rest of the davening, the boys were davening. The third level was, of course, the academy, the Conservatory of Music, and the academy in Tel Aviv, studying classical music.
Uh-huh.
So these were the three levels of my studies.
I see. If I just may comment, I have, although I wouldn't say I'm a history, an expert on the history of Chazanis, one of the things I've commented over the years is that when you read the biographies of most of the greats, they sang in choirs as children, and I believe that certainly sets the tone and the mold for the future. I think it's very hard if someone at the age of 20 or 30 just decides I want to become a chazan, but someone who has had it from an early age, I think, has a certain head start, if you will.
Well, you are absolutely right, Charlie. I tell you, I remember that in Tel Aviv, at the Bilu School, there was a seminary called Seminar Lelimud HaChazanut, to teach Chazanis, and Ravitz was teaching. And there were students there who, as you said, at the age of 20 or the age of 25 or whatever, started learning chazones. Some of them were opera singers who wanted to supplement their income. And I tell you, it was not a simple matter for them to absorb this whole idea and the whole tradition of chazones. And to them, everything was an exercise in vocal singing and musical singing, but it was not a tefillah. And yes, all, without exception, all the great chazonim that you can think of sang in boys' choirs, or boys' choir, or a choir with boys and men, of course.
Yes.
And I am extremely, and that's one of the things, maybe we will still talk about it during the program.
Yes.
I am extremely, extremely concerned that one of the problems of the future of chazones is the fact that there are no boys' choirs anymore, or there are no choirs of boys and adults. In other words, the boys sing the soprano and alto, and the adults sing the tenor and bass. And you don't have it anymore.
I know, and
so I don't know where they come. People do come from some of the Haredish sections, and, uh-huh. and of course the regular people. But there is always something lacking, and what is lacking is the tefillah.
Yes,
to sing a piece is one thing, but to know how to daven, and to know the nusach well, and to be proficient in it, that is lacking.
Well, that was one of the goals that I personally had when Cantor's World was going strong, and it's one of my hopes sometime in the future if I could perhaps help. In reviving that aspect of the choirs and so forth.
Sure. The problem is that most of the choir directors don't want to be bothered with children because it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
And today children are exposed to so much in the world that this kind of singing may not excite them anymore.
Uh-huh.
Whilst when we were growing up in Tel Aviv, there was no television and there was no pop Hasidic. And so everything was around the shul, and everything was around chazanut, the pure, pure chazanut singing, and nusach hatfilah and everything else. And so a chazonim of caliber, I am talking about the Kusevitskis, the Hirschmans, the Rosenblatts, the Kvartins, the Cup of Kagans, the Genshoffs, all of them sang and heard chazonim davening.
Yes.
You have a situation today, Charlie, and I'm sure you know about it, you're aware of it, that young guys listen to records and they imitate, including the mistakes that sometimes are in the records,
uh-huh.
for whatever reason.
Right.
They imitate it because it became something kazeh re'eh v'kadesh. That's what you have to read, to see, or for that matter, we'll paraphrase it to hear. And Kadesh, and it becomes Kodesh, and it mm-hmm. becomes holy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally, of course, unacceptable, because I immediately hear the amaratzes in it. I can detect it in 1 second, that guy did not sing as a kid, and he's not that, he's frum, he's religious. I mean, from that point of view, I have no problem in terms of qualifications to be a Shliach Tzibur.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the concept of Shliach Tzibur. We'll talk about that too,
okay.
maybe later.
Yes.
But, yes, children's choir or choir of children with men was always a must in every shul, wherever you were in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you go from west to east, Vilna, Riga, go to Moscow, go to St. Petersburg, go to Warsaw, go to Krakow, go to Budapest, and then go to the west, to Paris, to London, to Vienna, to Amsterdam, to Brussels, all of, and then of course Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Israel itself at that time was Palestine.
Yes.
And after that, of course, it became Israel. Wow. What was going on? And unfortunately, what do we have today? Nothing. Today you have to look for singers, and to them it's a job.
Yes.
They are
yes.
not. They are not singers. They are not.
They're performers. They're performers.
They're performers, but they don't know and they don't understand. To them, it's a job.
Yes.
And when it is a job, it's unacceptable. And where do you find frum singers today, Shomer Shabbos singers.
Yes.
I will not have singers singing in my synagogue unless they are, I am in Fifth Avenue Synagogue, unless they live in the Upper East Side or Upper West Side and they would walk over on Shabbat morning. I will not have a non-Jewish singers in the choir.
Well, of course,
some schools do that.
Yes,
I will not do it.
One of the issues is whether they understand the words, because how can you? If you don't understand what you're singing,
you
can't even improvise because you don't know where to go.
That's right. You see, one of the component of what Chazonis is all about is improvisation. Since we talk about it, so let's talk. Is improvisation. In order to be able to improvise, although it's improvisation and it's a free exposition, but even the improvisation has some rules. You don't just do it. And so if you have singers in choirs who are not exposed to chazones, they don't know when to give. We have two words what we call. We call, first of all, brooms, where we want them to come in with a chord and bell on and hold it so that the chazon can improvise on it. And then we have what we call a response. And in other words, when the chazon finishes a phrase, the choir has to sing a chord with the last word.
Yes.
Now, everybody knows the classic story that famous chazon was standing up and singing the Hu Rachum. And then he said, "Ve'hu rachum yirav ve'ravon ve'lo voi ve'lo yashchis," means that he will not destroy. So what did the choir said? Yashchis. They said he destroys. They should understand it. It's ve'lo yashchis. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know the Hebrew well, you don't know the nuances of the nusach, you don't know the interpretation of the text. So what's the point?
Yes.
And that's what we got as kids. So that when we became adults, it was part of our life. It's part of my life since the age of 8.
Now, when did you take up the piano?
I started playing the piano, learning piano, when I was 6 and a half. I remember my parents had no money to buy a piano, so my mother sold her wedding ring.
Really?
And they bought a piano into the 1 and a half rooms in the apartment in Tel Aviv in Yona Hanavi Street, number 42, on the first floor. I started in the Conservatory of Music. Later on, at the age of 10, I started in the conservatory studying harmony. Well, first of all, was theory, solfeggio. Later on, after I graduated from that, I moved into the academy, and there was very in-depth harmony, counterpoint, solfeggio, analysis of symphonies and sonatas and you name it. And so the musicianship is part of my life. What happened was, and then piano constantly. I played sonatas. I played concertos with orchestras as a student.
Really?
Yes, I played Liszt concerto number 2 in A major. Those who know classical music, it's some piece. Or Mendelssohn's Concerto number 1 in G minor. Minor. Or Chopin's Concerto number 1 in E minor. You know, it's almost like a Jewish melody there in the Chopin Concerto.
Well, I had the pleasure of seeing you down at the museum in Battery Park a few years ago. You were interviewed by, Rabbi Berkowitz, I believe.
Yes.
And
yes.
You sat at the piano for an hour and a half, and you just mesmerized me and everybody in the audience the way you were able to
Thank you. I tell you, one of the reasons why I did it was for some reason. On that evening, I couldn't get companies whom I would have liked to who could respond to improvisation and everything else. So I said, well, I'd rather. So some of the pianists will play from music very well, but when they have to, if I do some improvisation, they just sit quiet and they don't do anything because they don't know what to do. I remember the struggle that Moshe Kusevitzky and David Kusevitzky, when they came for those big concerts in Israel, and they had, without naming names, some pianist, who did not know anything about Chazones. And so when Moshe start, or David, or I remember Barkin or Genshoff started improvising, you know what happened? He just kept quiet. He didn't. He said, "Well, it's not in the music. What can I do?" They told him, "Yes, but that's Chazones." Didn't know what it was all about.
Right. Right.
And I accompanied many Chazonim too. As a matter of fact, I accompanied Moshe Kusevitzky at one concert that he gave to the army, to the Israeli Defense Forces.
Oh, wow.
It was an open air in Sarafen, or Tzrifin, as it's called today. and he came before the soldiers. It was a hot summer day. He took his jacket off, and he was with short sleeves, and that's how he gave the concert. And there must have been at least 2,000-3,000 soldiers. All and Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, and they were all listening to him, and they went crazy. And of course, I accompanied him on the electric piano at that time. And I remember he sang Misratze Berachamim, and he told me that he may decide to start improvising if he gets excited with the soldiers, and he did.
Wow.
Oy, did he give?
Wow.
He gave, I've never heard him like that.
Wow.
And I was a kid. How old was I? 18 years old. And then after that, and it was wonderful. Then I told him that I was leaving for South Africa to become a chazan there. And he said, you know, November I'm coming to South Africa for concerts. I'm canceling the pianist. He said, Yossel, du wirst spielen für mir. You will sing for me.
I said, that's great.
But he did not come. There was something, I think, with the impresario and the whole thing. The whole deal fell through, but I did manage, whilst I was a chazan in Johannesburg, to accompany Simcha Kusevitzky, who was at that time in Cape Town, but he did come a couple of times to sing in Johannesburg, and after, because Moshe told him about me, and then after I played for him, so I went to Cape Town to play for him, and so my relationship with the Kusevitzky brothers, not with Jacob I did not know. But Moshe, David, and Simcha, of course.
Now, you were in the Israeli army?
Yes, I was the chazan of the Israeli army.
You left and then came back to Israel?
No, after the army, in the army, you know, the chazan works very, very hard. There are weddings, there are shabboses that the chazan has to daven, and unfortunately, funerals of soldiers.
Yes.
And so I was very busy. I worked at that time with a chazan called Avraham Carmel, and he was a wonderful Hungarian chazan, excellent, excellent chazan. And after that, I went to South Africa, yes. And South Africa, I went just for the high holidays, and the high holidays became 4 years.
I see.
That's where I met my wife. That's where our oldest son, Zevi, was born.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time I came after 4 years back to Israel on our way to London, I already came with a wife and with a baby.
I see. So then you were in London for how long?
5 years in London.
Uh-huh.
At the Edgeware Synagogue. In Johannesburg, I was at the Yovel Synagogue. Yovel Synagogue was the main shul in the Yiddish Gass, in the Jewish area, where the Federation of Synagogues was, where the Beth Din was, where the Mikveh was, where the Adas Yeshurun community was, where... Bnei Akiva was, all the religious institutions, Hasidic Shul, not far was Shlomo Mandel, the chazan. I think we'll talk about him a little later, because we're going to try and play a piece that he composed. And so, yes, in London I was at the Edgeware Synagogue, which in the Guinness Book of Records is regarded as the largest in the British Isles. We had 1,700 members.
Wow.
Every Shabbos, 3-4 bar mitzvahs.
Wow.
A lot of weddings. And I had no time. I had to, when I went on vacation, stayed during the week in Israel, and I flew back to London to daven, and Moshe Shabbos I flew back because I was needed all the time. So
wow.
I was there 5 years, a lot of hard work. But I tell you something. You learn from hard work.
Mm-hmm.
You learn to daven. You learn how to deal with people. There's nothing wrong. I don't like chazonim when they like to boast that, oh, I only daven once a month, or I only daven twice a month. That doesn't impress me. I don't think I'm a bad chazon. That's not for me to tell. But I daven every Shabbos, unless I'm away. Of course, I travel a lot with the concert.
Sure.
But what's wrong with davening? Do you know that I daven, for example, Hoshana Rabbah? I don't know of too many Chazonim who daven Hoshana Rabbah.
Hmm.
Because the Nuschaos is very, very important to know the Nusach. And Hoshana Rabbah, you have to switch from weekday to Shalosh Regolim and to Rosh Hashanah and backwards and forwards, and you have to know where to do it and how to do it and how to combine it. This is a Torah, and I challenge many, and that's what I urge the young Chazonim. Don't resort yourself to just singing Moshe Kusevitzky's Esar Eino El Horim or his Misrater Berachem. That's not the beginning and not certainly not the end of Chazon Es.
Now, Edgeware, I have your first album. It's that blue album, and you have a mustache, and you were very young. And
And that's one of my.
Of course, I have two copies. If you need one,
I have four left at home. I may decide one day to issue them.
Oh, you should. We're going to play. Hopefully, we'll be able to reach. We've got a lot of music that we want to hear, but that was...
Maybe we should start now.
Okay. The first selection that we'll be hearing is from an album, Spirituality, and it's Hayom Haras Olam. Tell us about this.
Oh, very simple. I've already told it before. That's when... that's Yossele Rosenblatt's piece that he wrote, and I arranged it for a male voice choir. He wrote it for boys and men. Again, what we were talking about before. But I knew that I'm not going to find boys, so I arranged it for a male choir. First tenors, second tenors, baritone, and bass. That was part of the music that we discovered in a garbage can in Florida at the home of the granddaughter of Yossele Rosenblatt with the help of a great-grandson. And I made some copies of that. Those books were sold eventually in some kind of auctioneering. And I don't know who bought it. And it's a pity because books like this belong really at the Bell School of Jewish Music, where I'm a, I am a distinguished professor. Because Yossele Rosenblatt was a religious chazan. And the Bell School, of course, is Yeshiva University. And that is the Orthodox organization. It belongs there. But... Okay, they sold it, what can we do? But I did manage to make some copies, and the Hayom Haras Olam is one piece. The recording that you are playing is on my new album, and this is a live recording from a concert with the Moscow Jewish Choir, My Baby. We'll talk about Moscow a little later.
Sure.
And the concert was in Warsaw in the Nozick Shul.
Did I hear you sing this in Riverdale? Was that?
Yes, Charlie. Yes. The first time,
right. Okay.
The first time that I sang it publicly was at a concert in Riverdale, correct?
Yes.
And then what I did, I sang it, of course, in Warsaw. I haven't sung it yet in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I hope to do it this year, please God. And also, I did it a couple of times before Slichot. In other words, before we start Ashrei, I sang it with the choir in my shul as an introduction to get into the mood of Slichas.
Right. I think I played that concert a few months ago, but if I didn't, I will play it again. But let's hear this now. This is Hayom Haras Olam.
It's from Rosh Hashanah. It's from Rosh Hashanah, you know, after the blowing of the shofar.
Okay. Oh, Wow, Jesse, that was from a live performance.
Yes, it was at the Nozick Shul in Warsaw.
Uh-huh.
Shul, yes, with the Moscow Choir, and I think it was the first time that it was performed in Europe, probably since the days of Yosele, because he never recorded it,
uh-huh.
and it's not published in any of his cantorial books that he wrote, the recitatives, or either the one he issued or when his son issued here in New York. But when I saw the music, I knew right away it's Yosele, because you can hear the style, you can identify it in one second. And I also recognized the handwriting, but that was secondary. So I'm so glad to have at least recovered this piece, otherwise it would have gone to oblivion.
Now this was in Warsaw?
This recording is in Warsaw, live in Warsaw.
Now that must
on
be...
television, on Polish television.
That must
and
be awesome.
And kind enough to give me a copy of my concert, which was broadcast direct, live, on Polish television.
Wow.
And from that, I made the recording into the CD.
Now, it must be exciting to be davening in those shuls history.
You know, I was recently in Riga, and I gave a concert at the Opera House with their Philharmonic Orchestra. I sang 14 pieces there.
Wow.
And it was wonderful. What was so special for me to go to Riga? First of all, they've asked me to come, so you cannot say no. Secondly, Ravitz, Shlomo Ravitz, my Rebbe, was chazan in Riga in the late 1910s,
wow.
early 1920s.
Wow.
And so when my wife and I arrived in Riga at the airport, there was a press conference. And I told them, among other things, that about my teacher, who brought the music from Riga and then from Kharkov, where he was, and in other places, he brought them to Israel and he was teaching us. And I said to him, ladies and gentlemen, I'm bringing it back to you now. and the symbolism. So
yes.
That was on a Sunday afternoon when we arrived from London in Riga. And on Tuesday, the whole day, instead of enjoying the city, on the hour, I gave an interview to different newspapers and televisions and
wow.
radio. And everybody wanted to know, who was that Ravitz? So suddenly the name Ravitz is a household in Riga these days.
I love it.
So Baruch Hashem for that. Thank God for that.
I love it. Well, now our next selection from the same album is one of your compositions, Vehu Rachum.
Yeah, the Vehu Rachum here is actually a total improvisation from A to Z. This was also live recording. You were involved in it, Charlie, when we had in Borough Park in Congregation Bet El a special service during the Second Lebanon
War. Oh, yes, yes.
And every chazan sang a piece, and I concluded the evening by davening Ma'ariv.
Oh, yes.
And I sang, so I have to say Vehu Rachum. And I'm sorry to say, I'm not prepared to sing Yosele's Vehu Rachum, the davening, because if you want, you can put a record. I wanted to be a mechadesh. I wanted to do something that will be different, that it should be nusachdik, but it should be something else. And so I decided to improvise on the spot. What I did was, at the beginning, the listeners will be able to recognize it immediately, is the melody of the vidui, of the confession of Yom Kippur. Ay, 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 ay. And I remember after that, a Shainer Yid in Borough Park mit a lange Bord, a long beard, came over to me and says, Favos hat ihr gesungen den Nigen from Yom Kippur? So I said, why did you sing the melody from Yom Kippur? I said, Rebid, hört sich zu. Ihr hat einmal reingeguckt in the Siddur rein. Did you ever look at the Siddur to understand the text? What are we talking about? Come, let's have a short shiur. Vehu Rachum, God is the merciful, Yechaper Avon, will forgive the sins. Yechaper is Kippur. It's like a Kippur.
Uh-huh.
Yom Kippur is Mechaper. Yom Kippur is the day when Hashem forgives us, and so that we should enter the new year pure. We ask for forgiveness, and we are confident that Hashem is listening to our prayers. So why not take the melody from Yom Kippur and put it in here? And this is what I urge my students also. And I urge many of your listeners who are interested, come take courses with me
yes.
at YU. I look at the text. Study the text. Look at the Meforshim. look at the commentary to them. Today you have the article, you can use the article, you can look at much more, you look at Abu Draham, and you look at the various Perushim, you have the Goldschmidt Sidur. There is so much available today. I don't think there is a book about Tfila that exists in Hebrew that I don't have in my library. And so, and only then start thinking, what can I do in order to make it relevant? Because we as Chazanim are here not only to sing and to go home and to take the check. That's not the purpose. We are interpreters, and we are more than that. We are educators. The way we take the prayer and interpret, we teach the public what the prayer is all about, and therefore the kavana, the concentration, becomes far more acute and far more prevalent. And so the whole concept of tefillah becomes so much more elevated if we understand the text. And as a chazan, as a shliach tzibur, we are able to do some new interpretations. And this is exactly what happens in this Berur Rachum. It begins like this, and then I go into the nusach and I tear my heart out.
Now, this was from our gathering at Bethel.
Yes.
You know,
also, again, a live recording.
Yes.
At the choir, you have a group of chevre who are the choir in Congregation Bethel.
Yes,
Shimi Miller was conducting. That's right. He didn't know before what I was doing, but because he himself is a chazan and he's a son of a chazan,
yes,
of my friend Ben Zion, and he knows chazonis, and the chevre, they are all frum chevre, and they have the feel for these things, so they were able to assist me like the meshorerim of the past. And as soon as I heard them giving me a tone, I just went to town.
You know, Yossi, Benny and I did a lot of concerts, and we both feel that evening was our crowning achievement. The idea that on a very short notice, we were able to get you and so many other of the fine chazanim to come. It was so special, and the place was packed, and I really have to play that sometime in the future.
Well, first of all, the atmosphere was very charged.
Yes.
Because everybody was concerned about Israel, and was the second Lebanon war with mm-hmm. these people there, the Nasrallah and all these Hevre, the Yene Hevre.
Yes, yes.
Terrorists.
Yeah.
And number one. And number two, you were smart to do it at Congregation Beit El, which is a beautiful shul with an outstanding, a real European shul, with an outstanding acoustics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I used any microphone. We didn't use microphones.
No.
We just sang
no.
because right. that shul doesn't need a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that I keep telling. Leave the microphones alone. Sing. When you go to the opera, is there a microphone? No, there isn't. Why do we have to perform in shuls with microphones? Why? Because when we daven, we don't use it. So why do we have to what for? Why can't we show how the voice is? And you know that if there is a performance in the world of the classical music where microphones are used, the professional critics from the press just turn around and leave. They will not write critiques of classical music if a microphone is being used.
Interesting.
And I urge my friends, my colleagues, let's leave it alone. Let's sing the way we daven. That's beautiful. Anyway, this Berur Rachum is an example to what we were talking about before, about improvisation and understanding the prayer, interpreting the text, and the occasion itself.
Yes. Okay, let's go. Ay, Wow, that was some evening. Thank you. I know that the next selection we're going to be hearing is from an album with international choirs, and the selection is Vili Yerushalayim Yerchor. Tell us a little bit about the choir that is joining you.
Everybody is familiar with Moshe Kusevitsky's Vili Yerushalayim Yerchor. His Vili Yerushalayim Yerchor started as a result of an improvisation that he was asked at some event to sing, and they always told him, you know, you've never sung any Vili Yerushalayim Yerchor. So he said, okay, let me make an attempt to improvise the Vili Yerushalayim Yerchor, and he did, and he was very successful. And immediately he sat down with his brother David, who was the consummate musician. That's why I love David Kusevitsky so much. I knew him very well too. He was my kind of a cousin.
Uh-huh.
And they wrote it, and they made a big piece out of it. What I did was I took his piece and I wrote a choral arrangement for it. And the choral arrangement is done in such a way that even if you are a conductor who is not familiar with improvisation, and the Vili Yerushalayim Yerchor is really not improvisation anymore, it's a set piece, you don't need to just give a response, because everything is written into the composition. So any conductor can, and any kind of choir can do it. This was recorded, don't remember which one. I have two different versions. One is in Krakow, and I think this one was recorded in my shul.
Oh.
At one Yom Yerushalayim event.
Uh-huh.
And you will be able to hear, it was done quite a few years ago, it's about 25 years ago on Yom Yerushalayim. And we used to have in our shul every year a big event, Yom Yerushalayim, and the shul always was packed to capacity. And the result is this Vili Yerushalayim Yerchor that you are about to hear now.
Okay. Wonderful.
Thank you,
Jesse, you know, it's strange how fast time goes by. We have another minute and a half for the first hour.
Wow.
Perhaps a brief comment. How come there's such great choirs outside of America, and we have such difficulty finding great choirs here?
Charlie, it's a painful question and a painful answer. You go to London today, there are so many choirs. Shul choirs, there is the Ne'ima singers, there is the London Cantorial Choir, you have the London Jewish Male Voice Choir. And by the way, they're all volunteers. This is not a business.
Uh-huh.
They come because they love singing. There is something in Europe that unfortunately does not exist so much here, and that is they feel that we belong to a community. It's a kehila.
Uh-huh.
And the kehila has various activities, one of which is music.
Got it.
Wherever you go to Munich, for example. I sang at the opening of the new shul in Munich. What a lovely choir they have there.
Interesting.
Okay, for that event I had the choir from Yerushalayim, from the Great Synagogue with
Ali
Jaffe.
Right.
But their own choir, wonderful. Go into Vienna. Lovely choir in the Seidenstättengasse Synagogue. Go to Frankfurt, a lovely choir. Go to Berlin, wonderful choir. London, I told you. Paris, almost every shul.
Yes, we have just a few seconds left. During the second hour, let's see if there's something we can do to solve this problem here in America. Okay, so we're coming to the close of the first hour of this.
Okay.
I'm just so pleased that we have this interview with my friend, Cantor Yossi Malavani. And stay tuned for the next hour. Thank you.